Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
And if you would, stand for the Word of God. Second Peter chapter 3. Starting at verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away from the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you again this morning, our desire, our heart's desire is to learn and to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray that you would bless our time. Holy Spirit, we pray, have free reign over our hearts. Help us to submit to, Lord, what you will do here this morning. And help us, Lord, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Bless this time together. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, it's very interesting how Peter's going to end this epistle, and we aren't going to finish it this week. We will finish it the following week, and my hope is after that we'll do topicals for, I'd say for maybe 4 Sundays, but we'll see. I want to talk about evangelism and just how it's written in the Scripture, not to scare you off, but we'll tie that into next week also. But I find these few verses really very fascinating to me. Why I find them fascinating is because Peter is going to mention Paul. And the reason why that's fascinating, if you will, is because Paul right now is a very controversial person. But again, if you notice verse 15, he says, and consider the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. The long-suffering of the Lord, Peter's already mentioned in verse 9. But what does Paul have to say about it? Well, Paul really gets personal about that. He says, however, for this reason, in 1 Timothy 1:16, I obtained mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ shows all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Why did Paul write that? Because he felt like he was the chief of sinners. And if God could show mercy and grace to me, if he's that patient with me, then he's patient with everybody. He also wrote this in Romans, or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Do you not know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It's God's long-suffering. It's his patience. Now, but I want you to notice something. He says, our beloved brother Paul. Why that is so significant? Well, I don't know if you remember, but Paul rebuked Peter to his face. It's written in Galatians. See, Paul went down there with Barnabas and they spoke of what the Lord was doing, and Peter came back up with them to Antioch. And as they were in Antioch, they were living the freedom of being in Christ, meaning not sticking to the law of the Jews, especially kosher, which means food-wise, but they were eating with Gentiles, and Jews weren't supposed to do that. See, Gentiles were considered unclean. Now, Peter, if you remember, had that vision with the Lord. Sheet coming down, and It's all these unclean animals, and the Lord said, what I've called clean, don't call common or unclean anymore. So he understood this, the Gentiles. When he went up to Antioch, he was eating with them. But then when others came from Jerusalem, Jews, he separated himself. But it wasn't just so that bad. Barnabas, Paul's companion, was now separating himself. So Paul, in front of them all, rebukes Peter. Now, think with me. Peter could have been pretty bitter about this. He could have held a grudge. Could have spoke to about Peter or Paul in a lesser fashion. He wasn't one with us. He didn't walk with the Lord like we did. But no, he doesn't do that. No. In fact, he says, our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, he understood, acknowledged that the wisdom that Paul had came from above, just like James says. The wisdom of God comes from above. It's not earthly. No. It comes from God. Peter is acknowledging that. He is not holding to bitterness. He's not holding a grudge. And see, if you understand this, Peter had an understanding of what bitterness was. And I'm not going to go into the detail again, but another story. But the bottom line, he says to this person, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Are you bitter this morning? Are you holding a grudge? Do you know that you're the one that's enslaving yourself? It's been said many a times that the reason why God has put these beautiful passages for us to understand and learn, like forgive, is so that we can understand truly what forgiveness is. That you forgive those who have erred against you, that you're the one blessed. And see, we hold it like they don't deserve it. They don't deserve to be forgiven. They need the condemnation of God. Well, that's the Spirit's job, not yours. See, yours is to be pliable in the Lord's hands. And part of that being pliable is being open to Him and understanding when God says, don't hold this because it's keeping me from a work that I'm doing. Oh, I'll use it for the work I'm doing in you. But if you hold it, then it's going to restrain from you to understand these truths deep in your heart. See, bitterness, and really it comes to, if you will, actually a root of bitterness, is that the word, if you will, if the root is bitter, the fruit is bitter. You follow me? That's what that word is used for also. The root and the fruit. If your root is bitter, then your fruit is going to be bitter. And the Lord doesn't want bitter fruit. He wants fruit that will bless others. He wants others to understand the truth of what's happened in your own life. That's why in Hebrews it's warned, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. It's not worth it. Now there's a beauty here because a lot of this we don't understand because some of the things that have happened to some of you has been just traumatic, and it's not the Lord's belittling that. No. The beautiful thing about God is that this life, and if you haven't learned this, then we need to learn it now, is this life is really a workshop. It's messy. It's tough. It's not easy. It's to grow. It's to grow in what we'll get back to, in Him. To grow is the foremost that you are to do here in Him. And so it's to understand that this earth is, all the works of it, like Peter has already told us, is all going to dissolve. It's going to be gone. Now think with me. That means in heaven there's no bitterness. Oh, thank the Lord. In heaven, there's no grudges. Oh, thank the Lord. In heaven, there's no jealousy. Oh, thank the Lord. No envy. No hurt. No pain. So see, this is rooting out the bitterness, not letting the bitterness root in. And see, Peter understood these things. That's why he was able to take the rebuke. Because he understood something. Just like it says in Proverbs, his own iniquities entrap the wicked, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. It's a beautiful picture. Just as Peter said, bound by iniquity, it just enslaves you. Do you know that you're a slave? You are. It's interesting because that's a big topic now, slavery. But the reality is everybody is a slave. The question is, who's your master? So, Peter, understanding this, took the rebuke from his brother. Again, quoting Proverbs. Says this, better, the open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. And also, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Peter knows this. Peter was rebuked a lot. The Lord rebuked him several times. He knew something about being rebuked, but he also understood the healing factor of it. We don't like to do that. We don't like to confront people nowadays. And those that do typically don't do it in the spirit that should be done, and that's in love. Rebuke should always be done in love. So one thing about Paul that you can say, that if you sum up Paul in one word, it's zeal. He had zeal for the Lord. He had zeal for His Word. He had zeal for the Gospel. He had zeal for truth. He had zeal for spreading not only the gospel, but churches. He had zeal for others. We need more Pauls. We need more zeal. See, again, Peter coming to the end of his age. And understand that Peter and Paul died very closely together in time. So what we're getting from this is an understanding not only of an old man looking back, but also an old man looking over and seeing, not physically, but spiritually, a companion. He's lived on this earth through pain, through rejection, through sorrow, and yet through triumph, victory. As Paul says, I have run the race. I have finished it. Peter now, again in his cell, thinking about these things as he's writing them to these churches. He says, thank God, if you will, for patience towards us. His long suffering. Now, as written, he says, epistles, says, to the wisdom given to him has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things in which are some things that are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction as they do the rest of the scriptures. See, now all of a sudden, Peter's not just saying companion. He's saying, hey, let me tell you about some of the things that Paul wrote. Now, it's not, and see, what we're going to get into is, if you notice, he said, as the rest of the scriptures. So he puts Paul's writings, and there was a lot of them, and par on Scripture. Scripture. It's breathed by God. He understood this. Now, understanding that is really, if you will, controversy. Because then the controversy comes that Peter didn't write this. See, that couldn't be. Because Peter couldn't acknowledge that Paul's writings were Scripture. Because we know that all that Paul said wasn't Scripture. Because there's a lot of controversy what Paul has said. So it couldn't be all scripture, right? In fact, one writer puts it this way. Here's a lot of things just to think about, okay? There is, for instance, Paul's teaching about the law of conscience regarding pagan peoples. There is his teaching on the old man. There is his teaching on two natures in the believer, on predestination, and on the sovereignty of God and free will of man. There is his teaching on the olive tree and Israel's future. There is a teaching on the freedom of Christians' conscience. His teaching on marriage, his teaching on women in place in the church. There's a teaching on spiritual gifts, especially the sign gifts and being baptized for the dead. And his teaching on giving. There is his teaching on the freedom from the law. And also his allegorical significance of Hagar and Sarah. There is his teaching on the middle wall of partition, on spiritual circumcision, on the worship of angels, and on the mystery of godliness. There's his teaching on the treatment of widows, and on the vessels in the great house, and his teachings on slavery. These are hard to understand. They all can't be scripture. Some of it has to be his opinion. Has to be. But wait a minute, that's not what Peter is saying here. He's saying his epistles are on par. Now there's the question, was Peter actually able to read these? Were they actually in circulation? Well, there was a lot written. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to circulate them. And you're telling me that Peter did not run across them? Of course he did. Did not the churches have questions to Peter? Can you imagine Peter hearing it for the first time? I know what I would say. Let me get back to you on that one. Can we meet like a week from now? Maybe a month. Let me find out. Can I have a copy of that? And then go and spread it before the Lord and go, uh-oh, help. What's he saying here, Lord? Now, if you notice, Peter says this. He says that untaught for unlearned. And that word, it means ill-informed. That they're ill-informed, unstable. That word means or unbalanced, not firmly set or established. They twist to their own destruction. That word twist means to torture, to contort. The idea is to twist and contort Scripture to their way of thinking, which leads to their own destruction. See, when you don't understand something, again, the focus always comes through our eyes and our understanding and our experience. So when you're reading Paul, what do? You go by what you know. From your experience and your understanding, your wisdom, if you will. Now, in saying that then, what happens is if Scripture doesn't go in line with your thinking, then you twist it a little. You put it aside. Or you change it. Again, contort or twist. I had this happen to me the other day, a couple weeks ago. Somebody called the church, I answered, and this guy, the first clue should have came over when he said, "Hi, yeah, I'd like to talk to the pastor." Like this guy had the answers. I said, "Yeah, this is the pastor." And I was at the zoo too at this time. My grandkids. And there's all this noise. He goes, "Oh, sounds like you're busy." I go, "Yeah, it's really kind of like my day off, but what can I do for you?" He goes, "I got a question for you." I go, "Okay. In Scripture it says that no man has seen the Father, and yet you say that Jesus is God. You're referring to John. Did you read verse 1? "Yes, I'm very familiar with that verse. It says, a God." I go, "Oh, you're a Jehovah's Witness." And then he called me, basically, if you will, that I'm teaching a false gospel and I am a wolf in sheep's clothing. And then he pretty much hung up on me. He twisted the Scripture. He didn't give me the chance to tell him all the Scriptures that speaks of the deity of Christ. He just wanted to go off with what he was saying. Why? Because it makes him feel, again, like he understands Scripture. One of the things he rebuked me of was the Trinity. Basically, that's what he was tying in. I don't understand the Trinity. I'll be honest with you. I'm learning with you. I would guess Fred would say the same. Why? Because it's deep. It's too much for my little puny mind. if it's been said, if God can fit here, then he can't be God. He's got to be beyond my thoughts. And he is. So to twist things to make you feel good about your Christianity is not the right way. What is the right way? Seek wisdom? So James says, ask God for wisdom, he'll give it to you, liberally, without reproach. But the wisdom of God, as we taught, is from above, not earthly. It's not going to make sense in my, if you will, human mind as I experience it culturally. There's injustice in the world. There is men and women that treat others horribly. I'm not going to get all the answers here. But again, what God will do is he will give me wisdom that I need now. Paul understood these things. In fact, he tells us this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, listen, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For he who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. John goes on to tell us that you have a teacher. You have the Spirit of the living God. Now realize this before we go on, that there's going to be a battle. Why? Because again, your knowledge of the world as you've experienced it, and the truth of God and his understanding of all things. Now even there is a vastness. But the good news is God comes alongside us and teaches us through the experiences. Some of it we'll never truly understand. How does this fit that this person hurt me here? How does that all fit in? I may never understand that. But it's the understanding that God does. Somehow it all works out. We know that all things work together for good. But again, we always think that verse means right now that I can have all the answers now. And I can't have all the answers. It just doesn't work that way. But knowing that then, that if there is things that happen in my life, then I can ask the Lord, can you give me wisdom and insights? Now, this thing that I just pointed out, it may confuse me for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. One of two things may happen after that. As I've been praying, Lord, give me understanding. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me understanding. Two things may happen. All of a sudden, it may come crystal clear. And when it does, it's like, okay, now, serve, minister that person because they're going through the same thing. Or what may happen is that I come to the conclusion like, I don't get it, Lord, but one thing I have learned, you got this. I'm at peace about it. But see, again, it's just being open to that, letting the Lord be God. And if you will, really, that's really the bottom line. Look at verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow. Grow in grace. The goodwill, loving, merciful kindness of God. His favor bestowed upon us, undeserving though we are. Grow in his loving kindness towards you. Grow and learn more and more about that. And that's what we try to do here. We talk about God's love for you. For me, indescribable, unmeasurable, perfect. But grow also what? In knowledge. It's the deeper, more perfect and enlarged understanding and relationship to Him. Now, where it gets to the road. Strap your leather sandals on, folks. Of our Lord. We always go back to the Savior. Savior! Okay. Our Savior, He delivered us and saved us from the wrath of judgment to come. Savior. Lord. Kurios. It means master to whom a person belongs. Remember I said we're a slave to one or the other? We were a slave to, if you will, Satan, and our flesh, and our world experience. Whatever happens in these three realms affects us as humans. We become bound by these things. Whether it becomes from insecurities, whether that's emotional, mental, or even physical. How you perceive yourself, again, through the eyes of the enemy, the world, yourself. That's why everybody's striving to be something. Striving. I just saw a documentary on Steve McQueen. It's funny because I had a coworker that mentioned something about Steve McQueen. And this guy's in his 40s. And I'm going to lose some of you I know already. But he goes, who is Steve McQueen? I was just like, you know who Steve McQueen was? Steve McQueen was one of the most popular actors in the 60s and the early 70s. He was big. But see, there was something about Steve McQueen that he understood. There was something empty in his life. Though he had this fame and fortune, he felt empty. And so what he did was he kind of got off, if you will, from Hollywood. Went up into Northern California. There he decided he was going to learn how to fly. And he heard about this one instructor who was an older guy, and he wanted him to train him. But the older guy was like, you know, I can't. Maybe my son can help you. I'll talk to him about it. And he started talking to his son. And his son, this gentleman from Hollywood wants to learn how to fly. He goes, well, who is it? He goes, Steve McQueen. And son just goes, what? Really? So it came to be that what they worked out was the son and the father would teach him how to fly. The son would teach him the basics, and then the father would teach him more of the tricks and stuff. But see, there was something different about the father. See, he was a born-again believer. He never said anything to Steve McQueen about it. He just was very patient with him and very caring. And Steve McQueen grew up with no father. So to have this man to be so sensitive to him and so patient with him, not competing with him. Finally, Steve McQueen came to the point that he looked at him and he goes, I'm trying to figure you out, because he came from such a harsh background. That's what he did. He figured people out. They all have an angle. He says, but I can't figure you out. What are you about? And he looked at him and he says, I'm a born-again Christian. And that got him on a path of thinking, what is this? Is this real? So one time he came to him and said, can I go to church with you? Steve McQueen. He said, sure. He gave his heart to the Lord. And for the first time he understood what peace was. See, now he has a new master. Now there's a new ownership. Now there's change. And see, the only thing, if you as a believer this morning, and it's the same with me, if we have not continually experienced that, it's because of one simple truth. And you might be hard. It's hard for me because when I was writing this, I understand this truth even clearer this morning. He has to be Lord. You're his servant. You bid at his calling. It's not about you anymore. Whatever you're struggling with, he's master. See, the struggle is with us is that we don't supplant It's hard. But if you're not experiencing peace, that's the first step. Is he Lord of all your life? Every area, every thought. Do you sense his presence when you're watching something on TV? Do you sense his presence when you're talking to someone? When you're at work? Yeah, it's not easy. I know it's not easy. I told you, strap your sandals on. This is going to be hard. But it's the answer. That's the beautiful part. It's the answer. He's Lord. And that's what Peter is, this old man. And trust me, Peter's really, if you will, he's tried it every which way but loose. Peter has. Man's man. Strap up your boots. Get the work done. Sinful man. Also, he comes to the point that he thinks he's somebody. Lord, far be it from you. Get behind me, Satan. Lord, bid me to come to walk on the water. Oh, Peter, why did you doubt? I'll deny you, Lord. I'm not going to deny you. Yeah, sure, Peter. A little girl made you crumble. Why? Big, strong Peter, he learned something. I was nothing. A weakling. Controlled by Satan, the world, and my own self. And now I'm free. I understand that now I'm his slave. He's my master. Oh, I'm being led away to death. I know this. But you want to know something? I'm going home. This world ain't got nothing for me anymore. Master, Lord, Savior, God, King, Lamb, Lion. Truth. Everything that you need, he is. He is love. That's enough to rest, isn't it? Nestling in there. He's got this. Whatever it is, he's got it. Oh, there's lessons to be learned. I get that. We all have to learn. But let his truth resonate in your hearts. Let his love free you from your shame, your guilt, your failures. Everything that you beat yourself with, stop. That's you doing it, not him. He looks at all of us and just says simple words. Follow me? It's wonderful when you have a leader that says, let's go. I'm walking with you. That's what he asks. It's a wonderful thing, and we could go deeper, but I'm not going to. Actually, I cut out this message, some of it. Because I don't want to miss the point. Because see, now we have an opportunity. We're going to go into the communion, and really communion is, if you will, it's so vast. It's beautiful. to sit here and teach on communion. We could do it for months, maybe even a year. But just one simple truth. This is, again, a time that we say, you are Master. You are Savior. And you take a time to look at yourself. What is it that I'm holding back from you, Lord? And you ask Him, what am I holding back? Give me wisdom. What am I not letting go of? What is it that you desire for me to do, Master? I acknowledge you as my Savior, but this morning I want to acknowledge you also as my Master. I want you to think about that, meditate on it. We're going to have one song of just being quiet. On the second song, I won't be up there yet. That's when they'll pass out the elements. Then after the second song, I'll read the passage and we'll take it together. Let's pray. Lord, Master, Savior, we come before you this morning and just seek your wisdom in our lives. Guide us as we've come together, but Lord, help us now to sit here, literally at your feet, and ask, Lord, what is it that's keeping me from growing in the knowledge of you? What is it that keeps me, Lord, from drawing closer to you? And what is it, Lord, that you require of your servant, even this morning? Lord, no matter what it is, help each of us submit to your calling and your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.